So, there's a tradition amongst the Mekubalim. The Rizal mentions this, or Tzaddik HaKayan talks about it as well. There's a tradition, I mean, we know there's an idea called Gilgulim, reincarnation, and it's a complicated topic. But we have this tradition that the souls of the generation before Mashiach are going to be, on some level, it's hard to say a complete reincarnation, but on some level, sort of a reemergence of the generation of the desert, the generation of the Midbar. That's pretty good. And so I know the Jewish people have been saying for some time that we're already holding, the generation before Mashiach. So we've been talking like that for some time already. But we want to believe that, Taka, this is it. So learning a little bit about the situation of what it was like in the desert should, on some level, reflect our own experience right now. And so in this parasha, Parashas Ekev, the Moshe Rabbeinu repeats the Klal Yisrael, so he sort of goes over part of the story of what was going on in the desert during those 40 years. And again, that's going to be the objective right now for the next few minutes, to sort of hone in on one particular aspect of that experience in the Midbar and see what it tells us about ourselves right now. So it's interesting. When Moshe Rabbeinu describes his situation, again, he goes, there's sort of most of the story, most of the discussion, he talks about specific stories, specific events. But then there's a couple psukim that he just gives sort of an overview, just the general matziv of what the Midbar, what was that place that we were traveling in. So Moshe Rabbeinu says the following thing, HaMaleichecha b'Midbar HaGadol v'Hanayra, that the Ribbono Shel Olam, with the clouds of glory, with the Aron, led you through this awesome desert, this big, awesome desert. And Moshe then gives a few words to describe that desert. It's a place, he says, of Nachash, Saraf, v'Akrav, a place of snakes, serpents, and scorpions. V'tzimoyin ashrein mayim, in a place of tremendous thirst where there is no water. That's what Moshe describes it. So, okay. So he's describing the desert as a place of snakes and scorpions. What exactly does that mean? So the Sorek tradition, we're taught that the tradition is that when Moshe Rabbeinu says these words, describing the desert as a place of snakes and scorpions, he doesn't just mean that there are physical snakes and scorpions. That wasn't an issue for the Jewish people. They have Anani HaKav, they have clouds of glory protecting them. They're not worried about snakes and scorpions. The snakes and scorpions that Moshe is referring to is forces of impurity. Forces of impurity. In other words, the place of the Midbar, that was not just a desert. That was a place that the Jewish people traveled through. That was a place that contained within that place, that was sort of the headquarters of the other side. The headquarters of the other side. Or, in another way, all of the Yetzirahs, all of the temptations, all of the issues, all of the doubts and darkness, spiritual darkness that any Jew would ever face, any community would ever face, all of that was located and its headquarters was in that place of the desert. It's a place of Nachash Saraf Akrav. What's being described over here, this was not just a bad neighborhood. This was a really bad neighborhood. This was a neighborhood, this was a place of the desert, which was, again, the territory of the other side. That's a very, very scary place. And this is, by the way, it's an interesting thing. This is why, even in the beginning of the Sefer Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu sort of introduces his discussion, and he tells the Jewish people what we're going to be talking about for the next few parashas. And he says, basically, what I'm going to be talking about are some of your mistakes and some of the pitfalls that you've gone through in the desert. It's interesting. Rashi already comments on this. The Moshe Rabbeinu refers, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't specify the actual mistakes that the Jewish people committed, the sin of the golden calf and the sin of the spies. He doesn't do that. What he does, he references the places that the sin happened in. So why do that? Why not just say, upright, the Moshe says, we're going to be talking about the Egel, we'll be talking about the Meraglim, we'll be talking about these mistakes. He doesn't do that. He says, I'm going to be talking about the events that took place in this particular point in the desert. I'm going to talk about the event that happened here. Why are you referencing the Avera based on the place? So the Svarim HaKadoshim explained, because in a certain sense, it wasn't the Jewish people to blame for these mistakes. The truth is, on a very deep level, the source of the problem, the source of the golden calf, the source of the spies, all the Averis were not coming from a negative place inside the Jewish people. They were coming because they were in a bad neighborhood. And those places were predestined. They were magnetically pulled towards negativity. It's a place of Nachash Saraf Akrav. Yet, immediately, then the next pasuk says, what we have so far is that the desert is being described as a bad place. This is a place that you sort of, you roll up the windows, you lock the door, and you just drive through as fast as you can. You don't want to stay there. It's not a good area. Yet Moshe Rabbeinu then goes on to say, Mamish the same pasuk, Hamayti l'chamayim mitzur ha'chalamish, that in that place of the desert, you experienced unbelievable levels of divine inspiration, levels of the Rabbeinu Shlomo's presence in your life in a way that no other generation would ever experience. You had water coming out of a rock. Moshe then goes on, Hamechilchem man b'midbar, you literally ate food of angels. And so, realizing what that place of the desert was, and then you juxtapose that, then you pay attention to all the miracles that the Jewish people experienced, and all the unbelievable attachment to the Rabbeinu Shlomo the Jewish people experienced there. Now you have this very strange picture, where you have the Jewish people experiencing unbelievable levels of attachment to God within an area that's the territory of the other side. It's a place of Nachash Sharfei Akiva, a place of snakes and scorpions spiritually, but within that domain, all of a sudden the Jewish people are living a life of ecstasy, a life of divine experience. So he makes sense of that. That's a very, very strange phenomenon. Very strange phenomenon. So let me share with you something. This is something we find in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, it's one of the deeper, more mysterious elements of Yiddishkeit and how the Rebbeinu Shlomo runs the world. But it ultimately comes back, and it starts with that first generation of the Jewish people, again, somehow experiencing unbelievable levels of attachment to God within the bad area of the Midbar. There's a maysa that the Kamarna Rebbe, one of the great Hasidic masters of the 1800s, he records in his Sfarim in a few places, and he says this is the following maysa. The maysa was that his uncle, the Kamarna Rebbe, his uncle was the great tzaddik, Reb Tzvi Hirsch from Zidichov. Hirsch is Zidichov. It's a big, big tzaddik. And so this tzaddik, Reb Tzvi Hirsch Zidichov, he himself had a brother named Reb Moshe. Now this person, Reb Moshe, was a God-fearing Jew, a holy Jew, a nice Jew. He wasn't necessarily a Rebbe. He was in business. He was a businessman, but he was a God-fearing Jew. So the Kamarna Rebbe records the following conversation that took place between his two uncles, right? The Rebbe, Reb Hirsch Zidichov, and his brother, Reb Moshe. Conversation is as follows. Reb Moshe turns to his brother, Reb Hirschel, and he says, I have a question for you. The question is as follows. He said, I very often go travel in business, and I find myself in all sorts of locations that are not particularly Jewish. And I find myself, said Reb Moshe, in situations where, again, I'm not in a Jewish neighborhood. I'm completely by myself. All I have is like my, you know, can of tuna fish and challah roll. That's all, you know, and I'm traveling with that. And there's no minyan. There's no shul. And if, let's say, I need to daven mincha or something, I just stop on the road somewhere and I go to some field where there's no one's going to bother me, and I daven mincha. So fine. But says Reb Moshe, he says to his brother, but this is my question. My question is that when I'm davening those minchas, just like in a gas station somewhere, like on the road without, you know, any Jews within 100 miles, for some reason, those are the most amazing minchas of my life. Like, I feel such an attachment, such an excitement during those minchas. And then, says Reb Moshe, when I get back to, like, you know, Borough Park, you know what I mean? And I, you know, there's like a shul in every corner. Then it's like, okay, I feel a yurida. So it's an amazing thing, says Reb Moshe. And he says, this doesn't happen just once. This is like consistent. That when I go to these far-flung places, I'm the only Jew around, I feel like I'm having like an aliyah. Even though, again, it doesn't make sense. I'm learning less. I'm not davening with a minyan. I'm dealing with all sorts of characters in my business. Just within myself, I feel like I have this like sort of like an aliyah. I feel more spiritually alive. And then when I go back to the Jewish neighborhood, I feel like I'm going down. Does it make sense? And so he says, so Reb Moshe says to his brother, maybe I'm just like faking myself. Maybe all these emotions are just not, maybe it's not real. Maybe it's just in my own head, like a delusion. So he says like this. So Reb Moshe said the Chavar responded as follows. I'll share with you a couple lines. He says like this. V'heshev lei. Reb Hirschel said to his brother, he said, Mama Tamachi, why are you so surprised? Why are you so surprised? He says, Kishato ha'elech ala derech, because when you're going on the road, and you're thinking good thoughts. You're an Eilecha Jew. You're a good, God-fearing Jew. And you're doing the right thing. You're going for the purpose of business to support a family. It's all good. And this is the principle. The principle is that every single corner of this planet, every single corner of the universe, there are sparks of divine, of divinity. There's elements of godliness contained in every single corner of this world. And the objective of the Jewish people, and the objective of every Jew, is to try to find godliness and to try to sort of rescue the princess in a certain sense, to give some spiritual dimension and give some spiritual expression to all places of this world. So he says like this. In Bar Park, for example, you know, and just, again, they weren't talking about Bar Park, but you get what I'm talking about. In the shtetl, whatever, where Jews are, there's a certain amount of godliness. And there's also an amount of godliness in the gas station on the road somewhere, you know, on your road trip. So he says like this. When you're in a Jewish neighborhood, then there's so many Jews around, everyone is sharing the experience of finding God there. Everyone's sharing the experience of elevating those sparks, so to speak. And so you're not more chashuv than the guy next to you. And so there's enough sparks to go around. And you don't necessarily feel anything that's going on. But he says like this, but when you're the only Jew for 100 miles, so he says like this, then nidbakim b'cha, then for who knows how many centuries, those sparks of holiness, that level of elikus, the divine presence, was stuck in that gas station for who knows how many centuries in that place. Just waiting for what? Waiting for a Jew to come and to daven a mincha. And when that Jew comes to daven a mincha in that lost place, then all of a sudden those sparks and that side of the divine presence that's been trapped and that's been dormant in that place since the beginning of creation, finally there's a Jew here. And what all of a sudden happens is that those sparks and that aspect of the divine presence, it surges to you. It wants to attach itself to you in a very, very extreme way. And so now you have a funny dynamic. Because you're the only Jew for 100 miles, and there's a reason why the only Jew for 100 miles, because this is not a nice place. It's not a, you know, it's not a Jewish neighborhood. There's a lot of snakes and scorpions there. But because it's a place of snakes and scorpions, which usually means there's not a lot of Jewish people gravitating to that place, but you, for whatever reason in business, find yourself in that particular location, then all of a sudden, all the potential, all the godliness, all the holiness of that area attaches itself to you, and all of a sudden you feel it in your bones, and your mincha is elevated, and you can't explain it. So you can't explain it, he says to his brother, because it doesn't make sense. Why would I feel my davening to be greater in a gas station in Nebraska than in a shtibel in Brooklyn? Like, why should that feel more elevated? But the answer is because there's godliness in that gas station. And it was waiting for you to find it. And when you're, and because you're the only one there, so all of those sparks and all the potential gravitates to you. And he says, "Kol nefashis v'hanitzaitzis." Not only are there sparks and pieces of the divine presence, there could be reincarnated souls in the animals in that area. There could be Jewish souls that are lost in the inanimate objects, in the bricks of the building. Who knows? It's a complicated thing. There could be sparks of holiness in the non-Jews in that area. And all they're doing is waiting. And those sparks, those souls that are trapped in that dormant state, are waiting for a Jew to come. And therefore, when you're davening a mincha, or when you're engaged in a business deal, and you're being erlich, or when you go to daven, then all these sparks come and gravitate to you, like a fire that's burning. That's why you feel more inspired in those places. It is an amazing phenomenon. What we're being taught over here is an amazing idea, which is that there is such a phenomenon, there is such a thing where a person is in an environment which should lend itself to a decrease in one's spiritual sensitivity, a decrease in one's spiritual awareness. You're in a place that's called Nachash Sarf Akrav, a place that's called snakes and scorpions. You're in a desert. You're in a bad neighborhood. But yet, at the same time, there is no such thing as a neighborhood, or even a bad neighborhood, that doesn't have godliness there. And so, because every place on earth, even the bad neighbors, maybe even especially the bad neighbors, has some deep level of godliness and the divine presence trapped and dormant there, it's all the more so waiting for a Jew to come to finally rescue it. And when a Jew, for whatever reason, finds themselves in these places of Nachash Sarf Akrav, then even though on the outside, like, it doesn't make sense, why should I feel elevated? I don't have a minyan now. I'm not able to learn a daven as long as I want. I'm in the road. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I'm not in a Jewish place. Yet despite all of that, because ultimately God is there and God's been waiting in that place for who knows how many centuries specifically for you to come, so when you eventually do find yourself there, on the outside, you know, it's not as exciting. But on the inside, there's something within the Jewish heart that could be more sensitive to this. This is, by the way, again, not not talking about myself, but this is the deeper reason why very often people, when they come back from vacation, they feel like a downer. So one of the simple reason for that is because, like, I was on vacation. That's, you know, it was nice, and now I'm back to work. But you have to understand everything that we experience in life can be explained on a very simple way, but it also is reflective of something much deeper. The reason why the Jewish person feels a little bit down when they sort of come back, you know, to real life, quote unquote, is because when you were away, you were in a place that maybe on the outside wasn't so Jewish because you were on vacation. You were in Tahiti, who knows? But dafke in those places, there was godliness that was dormant and waiting for you specifically to come. And specifically because you might have been the only Jew in the entire environment there, either the only Jew or the only Jew that was religious, the only Jew that was interested in connecting to God, the only Jew that was davening mincha, who knows what. So these sparks of holiness are waiting for you, and they gravitate themselves to you. And because of that, there's a certain aliyah, there's a certain inner peace and growth and development that takes place specifically in those areas that on the outside are very far from holiness. And so this is what we have to remember. It doesn't necessarily mean to go look for these bad neighborhoods. But if the Rabbanu Shalom, in his divine providence, arranges a Jew to find themselves in that desert, what we have to remember is that there was such a thing as a generation in the desert, which is a generation that experienced unbelievable levels of divine connection, specifically in a place of snakes and scorpions. You know, the Zohar Kaddish, for example, describes the last generation for Mashiach as Tav Milagav Ubish Milabar, good on the inside, not so good on the outside. And this concept of there being sometimes of a disconnect between what's going on the outside and what's really being experienced on the inside, that started in the generation of the desert, and it continues with our generation as well. You have to understand, you know, Rabbi Nachman, for example, has a Torah about this. He says that the Pasuk says regarding the giving of the Torah, so it says in Pasuk over there, that there was, by Har Sinai, that there was an Arufel, there was a deep storm, thick cloud that was on the mountain. And when the nation, when they saw that cloud, they stepped back, because it was like an awesome thing. Well, Moshe nigash al Arufel, Moshe approached the cloud, Kishom Elokim, because that's where God was. Right? That's the thing, is everyone steps back, and Moshe goes in. Rabbi Nachman said that cloud, that's not just the story of telling us what happened, that's a lesson for us right now. He says very often a person finds themselves facing a storm cloud or facing an environment which can be described as a place of snakes and scorpions. And so that's a place where you don't think God would be there. You don't think that would be a place that you could experience some elevation spiritually in that place. And most people, when they look at that cloud, they walk back. They don't want to go into that place. They want to avoid it by all costs because they don't believe that they can handle it. Not only handle it, they don't believe that they could actually grow from it. But a Moshe Rabbeinu, someone who has eyes, someone who has the chacham of Moshe Rabbeinu, approaches the cloud with confidence and strength, kishom elokim, because he knows that's specifically where I'll be able to find God in a very deep way. Now, it doesn't mean to get yourself in trouble. But it means, again, if the situation requires you to be in a storm cloud, we have to have the chacham, the wisdom of Moshe Rabbeinu, to be able to know and to believe that kishom elokim, that specifically there's potential that has been waiting specifically for a Jew to find themselves in that place. Let me share with you a couple lines from, I was just reading this this morning, from Rashash, Shalom Sharavi. Remember Shalom Sharavi? Shalom Sharavi, in Sephardic tradition, he was a big Mekubal in the 1700s, big Mekubal. He was, in Sephardic tradition, he's like number two, only to the Arizal himself. Rashash writes the following thing, V'zegodol chiv mitzvah satfilov ha-mitzvah. This is the great reason why it's so important that every single Jew davens and keeps as many mitzvahs as possible. Why? Because kol echad mesakin u'mailuk fi b'china haruli elo. Because every Jew fixes and accomplishes something that's unique to them. When it, you know, again, there's godliness in that gas station in Nebraska, and that godliness that's in Nebraska somewhere, it's a shidduch with you. Your soul is the key to unlock that greatness. And the Rabbanu Shalifer has to find you in that place, in that gas station, right at the right time, to daven mincha at the right time. And that's true with you, it's true with every single Jew. Everyone is mesakin u'malak v'b'china ru'i elov. Every neshama accomplishes and rectifies and fixes what's unique to it. It's a sakin achelbe masha tisakin halavayna. We know that in the spices, in the k'tiris, there was 11 ingredients. 10 of them were beautifully delicious, right? And there was a chalvana with the 11th spice, which was on its own a disgusting odor. When you mix it together, it somehow enhanced it. Says the Rashash, Tesakin chalvana, mashallah tesakin halvaina. There are Jews that are more chalvana type of Jews, and they're the disgusting odor type, you know what I mean? And then there are Jews that are levaina, that are the beautiful, delicious types of Jews. And so you might think that the mitzvahs that a Jewish person does when they're of the 10 ingredients, okay, it's good. But if a Jew is doing a mitzvah and he's the 11th ingredient, and he's in a place of nachash arvach, if he's in a place of snakes and scorpions, what could his mitzvahs possibly be doing? But says the Shon Sharabi, it's not true. Every single Jew is masakin. Every single Jew is fixing and correcting and uplifting and elevating. And there's elevations, there's accomplishments that the chalbana does, that which the levayna cannot. The hakol tzrichim zelazeh, every single Jew needs each other. V'layuchol shum echad miyisro lasis mashiyas chaveri. And one Jew cannot do what another Jew does. Every single mincha of every single Jew is unique. Every single mitzvah of every single Jew is unique. That no Jew can accomplish what the other Jew is able to accomplish and is sent to this world to accomplish. And that's what we're learning from our parasha. When Moshe Rabbeinu says that the place of the Midbar was both a place of snakes and scorpions, a place of difficulty and confusion, but it was also a place where you experience godliness in the most extreme way, that's telling us that even with us it's still possible. A person can find themselves in that place of Nachash Arf Akrif, but once they're mechazik themselves and they realize that even in that arafel, even in that cloud, godliness is there. And maybe the reason why I'm here, and the reason why God has sort of led my life to be in this place of Nachash Arf Akrif, is because there's some spark, there's some level of divine presence that needs me in particular, from all the millions of Jews, I am particularly the one that's able to unleash that. Then you go with that potential, you go with that mindset, and you daven mincha in that gas station, then you'll be able to experience what Ramesha said to his brother, which is that these are the best minchas of my life. And that's true, again, when you're on vacation, it's true wherever you are. Any conversation you have, any experience that you have, that it might seem to be a place of snakes and scorpions, davka there, God is found. And embrace the moment, be mechazik yourself, that there's a tikkun, there's an accomplishment here that I am being sent to accomplish, that no one else in the history of the world, past, present, or future, is meant to or able to. When you embrace that, you'll be able to find the mun and find unbelievable levels of water coming out of rocks, davka in that environment of Nachash Arf Akrif. So Hashem should help that the our generation, which is described as good on the inside and bad on the outside, that good on the inside should be manifest in full, in a clear way. Thank you, Hashem. 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 Thank you, Hashem.